appreciate each one of you men being in the Sunday
school hour. Whoa, Douglas, reframe me somewhat.
And appreciate the goodness of God to us today. It's cooler in here than it is out there anyway. This might be one of them days where we'll just stay in church all day. Amen. Just make a day out of it. And stay with God. And enjoy Him throughout the entire day. Well, I was listening to Brother Purser again this morning. His singing and the preaching kind of touched my heart. I appreciate that. And appreciate the goodness of God here in the land of the living. Psalm 56, gentlemen, again this morning. I believe this will make our third time in this psalm, and we'll close it out today, Lord being our helper. And we want to read all 13 verses of it this morning for your hearing, okay? Beginning in verse number 1 of Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God will I praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Now, gentlemen, I will not try to preach or teach on verse number 5, but it gives reference to the life of our Lord Jesus, especially in the latter end of His ministry, when the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees all came to Him with three particular questions. I think they dealt with the resurrection, marriage and judgment, the power of God, and His love. And He answered those questions, and they did not ask Him another question from that day forward. But they wrestled His words to try to trick Him or find a fault in His teaching where they could become critical and sow doubt in the hearts of those that were following the Lord. And men today will do the same thing. They'll do their best to cast doubt upon the Word of God and upon what you've been taught. In doing so, if you allow them, they'll hinder your life for Christ, and they'll cause you to doubt what you believe in the Word of God and what you've been taught. And so that's what they were doing here. It says in verse 6, they gathered themselves together. They did too. Sadducees, Pharisees, and scribes. Amen. And said they hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not put in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His word. Father, thank You for Psalm 56. I pray that You'll bless it to our hearts today and help the preacher provide the power, Lord, and the wisdom, and give us some understanding into the Word of God. May the Holy Ghost illuminate every heart and supply the need for the hour. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Gentlemen, our text verse this morning is in verse number 13. Where our brother David said, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt Thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Notice that last little statement, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. And I've chosen for our thought for this morning Sunday school, walking in the light. You know, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is Brother David's desire. God has delivered him from death. He saved him. And his desire is that God would deliver his feet from falling or stumbling or doubting, that he may walk before God in the light of the living. Now, we know from the title of the psalm that David here is sojourning in the land of Gath. He is living in the land of the Philistines, in the land of Gath. In the first seven verses, and by the way, I preached on those here, I think, a week ago Sunday morning. But in the first seven verses, David finds himself surrounded by the enemy. And gentlemen, I don't say that there are just a couple of enemies out there, but David found himself surrounded by the enemy. He finds that the enemy, the longer he lives, that the more they magnify themselves and the greater they become, not only in power and strength, but in number. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. As a young Christian, I didn't see that. I really did not readily recognize all the enemies that I had. But the longer I sojourn in the world and live for God and try to serve Him, the enemies that oppose me become stronger in my life. I recognize, and the reason they do, I recognize their strength. And God has given me a little light to recognize their strength. And then I recognize their numbers. Things that did not used to bother me now bother me. I used to be able to go to places and it didn't bother my conscience. Now it does bother my conscience. I see these things or recognize these things in my life as an enemy of God. And by the way, as an enemy of mine. And anything that is an enemy of God ought to be my enemy. The world, the ways of the world, the cares of the world, the life of the world, the conduct of the world, the character of the world, all these things are enemies of God, and they ought to be enemies of mine and yours as well. I'll be honest, as like I've said, I don't fit well in the world anymore. The longer I serve God and study His Bible, gentlemen, the more I readily recognize I just don't belong in this world. That is why when God saved us, He moved our citizenship yonder to heaven. We're taxpayers in another world. Amen. We sojourn here, but we owe our taxes up yonder in another world. And David recognized these enemies. But although David was in exile, he rejoices in the fact that he is yet under the protective watch care of an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. When he turned from verse 7 to verse 8, David recognized these things. He said, I know that I'm in the land of Gath. I'm sojourning in the world. But he said, Lord, you tell all my wanderings. You know every change of life that I've made. And fellas, God does. Every time your life changes or your lifestyle changes due to your sojourning here below, God marks that. He's aware of that. He has an understanding of that. And David could rejoice in these final five verses, or six verses, because he realized that he was under the watch care, the all-seeing eye of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to tell you, fellas, we're going nowhere that God does not know where we are. If I ascend into heaven, God's there. If I make my bed in hell, God's there. You're not going to escape the all-seeing eye of God. And so really what we do and how we conduct ourselves should be of great interest of ours, knowing that what we do at every given moment of the day, whether it be in the day or the night, God can see in the night season, gentlemen. Amen. God knows what we're doing, knows where we are, knows the feeling of our heart. And by the way, He knows when we sin. He knows when we're honest. He knows when we're right. He knows when we lie. God's all-seeing eye sees everything. But as a child of God, I'm glad I'm under His protective watch care. And David could rejoice in the fact that he was under the watch care of an omnipotent God who had all power, under an omnipresent God that was in all places at all times, an omniscient God that knew all things and nothing escaped His mind. He was aware of what was going on in David's life. Gentlemen, He's aware of what's going on in our life. Amen to God. And we can rejoice in that. Somebody said, "Preacher, how? You don't understand what's going on." Oh, yeah, we can. He tells all of our wanderings and He puts our tears in a bottle, gentlemen. And David could rejoice in the fact that no matter how hard it was on him, that God's all-seeing eye was upon him, God's power was protecting him, and God's presence was abiding with him everywhere that he went. Amen. That is right. Now, I'm going to have to move on or we'll never get done today. Amen. And so God's eye was upon him who had delivered him from death. He rejoiced in the fact that God had delivered him from death. That He had went to that extreme, gentlemen, that He would in love and mercy lift him from the depths of sin and shame, from the depths of disgrace, and regenerate him, making him God's wonderful, gracious, and eternal child. I want to put that word eternal in there because we're never going to be separated from that love. And gentlemen, God has delivered us from death. You ought to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who delivered us, Paul said, from so great a death, past tense, and is delivering us, Paul said, in whom we trust. He will yet deliver us. I'm telling you, He has delivered us in the past, He's delivering us in the present, and He's going to deliver us in the future. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that I have got an eternal life in the Lord Jesus, my friend. I am saved for time and eternity because I have been delivered from death. That's right. And delivered Him from death. He said He's also able to keep my feet from falling. That is, deliver him in this life. Deliver him in this life that he may walk before God in the light of the living. Amen. Gentlemen, God wants us to walk in happiness, in victory, in this life. Amen. I'll tell you, somebody said, "Well, I've got to wait for the life to come." Hey, gentlemen, we've got a hope in God in the life to come, but we've also got blessings and hope from God in the life that we're now living in. And God wants us to walk in that light as He is in the light, having fellowship with Him as we walk in that light, amen to God, and having joy in our hearts regardless of the situation around us. I tell you, I couldn't help but to listen to Brother Purcell this morning talking about the carnality of the world and everything that's going on in the world. I'm telling you, friend, this world, and hey, it'll come home. We don't readily recognize the sorrow and the hurt and the heartache that's in this world today until it comes home to roost at our house, and then God will suddenly awaken us with it. I read in the paper on yesterday about those two men that died in that stinking chicken vat up at Tyson Foods. 40-year-old fellow and 24-year-old boy went to their death in a stinking a vat full of chicken scraps and meats. It's Tyson Foods. Amen. That's right. And I'm not so sure. And by the way, the Hallam boy, the 24-year-old Hallam boy, his brother went to school in that back room. Huh? Do you think, what do you think is the heartbeat of that family this morning? And a wife. And the Dane boy, I'm satisfied, is a relation to Mike Dane that used to be in the church I pastored over in Calhoun, because the boy's from Slaughter's. That's where all Mike's family was from. Huh? I'm telling you, heartache and hurt may not have come home to roost at your house, but it did at those two families on Friday night, gentlemen. Reality gripped them that life is a reality. And troubles in that life is a reality. And heartache in that life is a reality. And God, hey, David said, "I want to walk. You've delivered my soul from death. Now allow me, Lord, to walk before you in the light of the living and prevent my feet or keep my feet from falling that I may enjoy total and complete victory as I walk through this life here amongst my enemies below." That's right. Now this is a short psalm, fellas, 13 verses. But in it, Charles Spurgeon said, "We have climbed from the ravenous jaws of the enemy into the light of Jehovah's presence. And it's a path which only faith can tread. That is right. From the very jaws of our enemies into the very presence of Almighty God in 13 verses. Hallelujah to God. Amen to God on that. Now, I find here really three things, and I'll mention them, we'll be done this morning. I find in the first place that David dwells in a divinely delivered state. Amen. Gentlemen, he is not looking to be delivered. Amen. David has been delivered. Somebody said, well, I got a little Armenian blood in me. I'm Baptist. Amen. I'm not waiting, gentlemen, to be delivered from death. Present tense. I have been delivered from death. And David realized that he dwelled in a divinely delivered state. Amen to God. And when I say dwell there, I'm talking about taking up permanent residence there. Amen. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. With gentlemen, hey, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for them who are kept by the power of God. I'm glad that I dwell, my friend, in a divinely delivered state. Amen. Somebody said, can you backslide and lose it? Not a chance in this world. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, saved by the grace of God since 1970, and anything, slew foot or slew face or smut face or whatever thinking amen can do about it, I'm going to glory because I have been delivered, not only because of what I've done, but it's because of what He does, and it's not because of what I am, it's because of what He is, it's not because of what I'm doing, it's because of what He is doing. Amen to God, that's right, ain't it? Amen. Now He's delivered from death through the mediation of Jesus. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It was the Lord Jesus, gentlemen, that walked up Calvary's Hill and there, my friend, allowed all the wrath of God to be poured out upon Him in judgment that my soul might be set at liberty. Amen to God. There is salvation in none other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm telling you, we're delivered, my friend, through the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say secondly, we delivered from death by the instrumentality of redemptive truth. Amen. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Now, I don't have time to go into all of it, but there came a time in my life when I learned the truth about the Savior. Amen. I learned the truth about sin. Amen. I learned the truth about myself. Yes. Amen to God. And look here. What is it the psalmist said? And I can't, it's in the psalm. I forget the psalm it's in. When I looked unto my ways or something, I turned to God and run to Him or something. On that. The psalmist said, I'll just break it down. The psalmist said, I looked at myself and run to God. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, sir, I'm telling you, when God reveals truth to an old sinner and he realizes that he is justly condemned, not waiting to be condemned, but is condemned already, he's just waiting for the confinement, my friend. He'll flee to God for help and deliverance from the condition he's living in. I won't say delivered from death by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, I like hymn sings. I like preaching. The Holy Ghost, gentlemen. I'll never forget old Harold Sotler preached out at the Greer Baptist camp meeting years ago. And he preached on who is the Holy Spirit. And he used John 16, I believe. And then he used Rebecca as an illustration of how God, through the Holy Ghost, delivers old sinners. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, it'd be a happy day in our churches when men again realize that salvation is of the Lord. Hey, look here, and it is not, my friend, through gimmicks. It is not through any kind of our worldly imagination that men are saved. Men are not saved by pony rides and bingo games and puppet shows and hymn sings. Men are delivered from their sin by the power of the Holy Ghost when He has come. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is the only agent of conviction and conversion. I know that's right. Amen to God. Men are not saved any other way. There is no other agent, my friend, outside the Holy Ghost of God. And men want to believe there is. We had a missionary through here. In fact, we had a missions conference. We had several men from one of the mission boards in America with us that went into the prisons. And this one young man, or this older man, really, got up and done his part on one of the night services. And I believe he was in a prison working in Tennessee, down around Memphis. And he said, I like being in that prison because, he said, that's where all the inductees in the Tennessee reformatory system have to go through there. And he said, I have an opportunity to witness all of them. And he said, especially to those young men that are just young men, 20, 21 years old, 19, 20, 21 years old, said they come into that place and the reality grips their heart that they're in prison, they're going to spend time there, they don't know what awaits them, they don't know what the future holds for them, and said their heart is real tender. And said, I've seen them just sit there and weep and cry, and said that is a wonderful time to lead them to the Lord while their heart is tender. You hear Brother Hallwell, and you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm telling you, my friend, that death of a loved one may make a man cry, and facing a prison term may break our heart and bring tears and a lot of troubles and heartaches, my friend. Not bring tears, but I'm telling you, the only tears that will lead a sinner to repentance is the tears that are placed there by the power of the Holy Ghost when He reveals to a man what he is and reveals the love of Christ upon Calvary's cross is the only way that man will ever get saved. There is a worldly sorrow that'll do you no good at all. If it is not a godly sorrow that leads a man to repentance, it won't work. And they'll pump professions out of them kids and make them a twofold more child of hell. That's right. Then we're delivered from death on the condition of faith in the Lord Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For faith is a substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to tell you, friend, man ain't getting in no other way. And I don't have time to get into it. I've not got to my thought yet. But hold faith, my friend, in Christ will change a man's life and bring him to walk in the light as God is in the light. For the just shall live by faith. Amen to God. And if we're living by faith, we're walking in the light. That is the only way a man will ever come to God, is my friend. For they that come to Him, come to God, must believe that He is. That He is what? He is God, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to say, secondly, that David here dwells in a divinely sustained state. He said, wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling? Huh? In times of temptation, man is prone to fall. In troubles and trials, man is prone to fall, gentlemen. Amen to God. But I'm glad that we dwell in a divinely sustained state. Somebody said, yeah, but I just don't have it in me. I know you don't. And I know I don't. But listen to what Brother Jude said. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, and a dominion and power both now and forever. And then Brother Jude said, amen. You see, gentlemen, we're sustained in our life by the power of God. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from fainting. Somebody said, and you cannot, you don't have that power within your own person. Huh? No, sir, you can't do that. Then I want to say thirdly, and that's what I've been wanting to get to, that David realized that he dwells in a divinely approved state. That I may walk before God in the light of the living. Approved of God to walk there. Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, that is a glorious, blessed privilege.
Amen.
The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
And Noah walked with God.
Amen.
The Bible said that God told Abraham, Abraham, walk before me and know that I'm God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. What a glorious privilege.
Yes.
When I look at the worldlings that's all around me, they have absolutely no light from God. They have no leadership from God. Oh, and don't want it. Oh, but you and I that are saved by the grace of God. We dwell under a cloudy pillar in the daytime. And we dwell under a pillar of fire at night. I'm glad, thank God, that we dwell under the canopy of the power and the glory of Almighty God in our life. God has approved of us. We live in a divinely approved state that God would allow a sinner redeemed by grace to walk with Him in the light of the living. And that God's power, my friend, would sustain us there. And that He would approve of us walking there with Him. You got out of bed this morning, God got up with you. When you got dressed for church, God was there with you. You crawled in that automobile, God. When you crawled in your car and said, honey, we're going to church, the Holy Ghost said, amen! That's right. When the preacher opened up the Bible this morning and said, let's read the Bible, the Holy Ghost said, amen! When Brother George cracked the songbook and said, we're going to sing another song today, the Holy Ghost said, amen! Sing, preach, pray, and praise God. God has approved that, gentlemen, that we might walk before Him in the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. Dwell in a divinely approved state that I may walk before God in the light of the living. This walk is governed by and is well pleasing to the Lord. Somebody said, I'll just walk wherever I want to go. You a lion, get you, don't you, and your mammy don't want you. Your walk is governed by the Lord, gentlemen. Somebody said, can you prove that? You won't ask me that now. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, you don't do and go as you please, not if you're a child of God. God tip you up and spank your behind real good, buddy, and leave wealth all up and down your legs and your hind end. Huh? Our walk is governed by the Lord, and it's well-pleasing to God. And I don't have time to turn over to the book of Colossians, but Paul talked about in Colossians how that our walk is well-pleasing in the eyes of God. That's right. Now, here's where the rubber's going to meet the road. Y'all ain't going to leave me now, are you? Huh? Then if we're walking, listen now, that I may walk before Thee in the light of the living.
Amen.
You ever see anybody walk standing still? Getting ready to put the rubber on the road, fellas.
Amen.
Walk before me, Hall. I am, Lord. Oh, you're not. Now, you hear me well. If we're going to walk before Him, gentlemen, if we're going to walk in the light as He is in the light, that takes with it the idea of a constant progress.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in giving people time to grow in grace, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. And that's right. And to learn a little bit from the Scriptures.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, for a child of God, there ought to be a constant progress. Look here. If a child is in the school system, friend, and there is not a constant progress in their knowledge of a reading, writing, and arithmetic, they are to be detained in the same grade over and over and over. Now, I'm going to tell you, after about 8 or 10 years of no progress, a teacher might get the idea, especially if they're in the public school system, it'd take that long, to get the idea that there's something wrong with that child, that they are making no progress in their spiritual or in their secular understanding. And I'm telling you, my friend, if there is no progress in our spiritual understanding of God, then they are the problem in our life. If we're walking with God, it denotes a constant progress in our Christian sojourn. That's right. Now, there ought to be a progress in spiritual knowledge. Listen to what Brother Paul said. And it's going to get quiet. I knew it would. Brother Paul said in Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Gentlemen, I'm telling you, the Lord wants you and I to have to progress in our knowledge of God. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wonder what kind of a score that most of us would pass if we issued a pop quiz this morning on our knowledge of God.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. That's right. I know men that have been in years, I've been in church for years, and don't know beans from applesauce. You can mention the term justification, sanctification, redemption, glorification. You can mention the term the immutability of God, the holiness of God, whatever, and they absolutely know nothing. There's not one verse of Scripture that comes to their mind to lead me to believe they know anything at all about God. There ought to be a constant progress, gentlemen, in spiritual knowledge. We ought to know a little bit about God's faithfulness.
Amen.
That's why we're whooped today, men. We don't know much about the faithfulness of God. Man, I'm telling you, we serve a God, fellas, that in His earthly ministry, He loved His own unto the very end, loving them. God's faithful. Man, that's right. Listen what Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And then Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness. Now I want to show you something, men. Say right with me. Somebody said, well, but Jeremiah was a prophet, walked with God, had the power of God. I want to remind you that when Jeremiah wrote that, he was watching Jerusalem burn to the ground. He had watched his countrymen exiled into Babylon, and himself left there in the land as a prophet to the Jews that were left. And all that was left was the poor and the halt and the maimed of the land. All of the princes, all of the powerful, all of the wealthy had been carried, all the educated had been carried off down to Babylon, and Jeremiah remained in the land with nobody but the poor of the land and the insignificant nobody. But look at, and he saw his beloved city burned, the sanctuary burned, the temple burned, the walls tore down, and yet he could say, God's faithful to me.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know why he could, fellas? Because he looked beyond this mess. Now, God's concerned about, and I'm going to preach a little on tonight, if God will let me, what you put on your body.
Amen.
And how we live in this life. But I'm going to tell you, friend, if in this life only we have hope in God, we're of all men most miserable.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you one of the greatest truths that will, if we was, God was to let us be like a Lazarus, a beggar laying at a rich man's gate,
Amen.
We could still look up into the face of God and say, Thou art faithful.
Amen.
Job did. Lazarus did. We ought to be able to.
Amen.
What about knowledge of His compassion? Well, I'm telling you, we live in a generation of preachers, men, and I've been guilty of it myself. That honestly, before God, you listen, you'd think God just doesn't love anybody at all. I mean, I can understand where that fella up in Minnesota got his theology from. We've got a generation of preachers that don't believe that God has an ounce of compassion and love and mercy about Him at all towards sinners. But listen what old Isaiah said in Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I'm telling you, my friend, God is a God of compassion and mercy. Amen. When I first got saved and started going to church, all I heard about on chastisement, fellas, was God's whipping folks. God will take you down into Moab, and down there, buddy, He'll strip you, beat you half to death, leave you there wounded and bleeding. And God may do that. But I'm telling you, chastisement deals with child rearing. God raises His children, amen to God, in a loving, compassionate, tender type of way. He may have to apply that rod occasionally, but He knows when to apply it and how to apply it, and He never applies it in a fit of anger, a fit of rage, or without the knowledge of what's going on. He always has an understanding of what's going on in our life before He ever applies that rod to us. And I'll tell you, friend, that's a far cry from most people today. His compassion, knowledge of His wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:21. I like this. I hope you do. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. That's right. God told Adam and Eve, said, Adam, said, the first day of the day you touch of that fruit, said, in that day you're surely going to die. Said, you're going to die. And the old devil come by and said, told Eve, said, now look here, look here, look here. You ought to take good advice of that. God knows that you eat that, said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And when she saw the fruit and realized that it was good to make one wise, she ate it. But I'm going to tell you something, fellas. That was a worldly wisdom. When the world by their own wisdom. See, we want, that's right, it's in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. They want to be their own God. I want to do my own thing. I want to lead my own life. I want to run things. I want to control things. Amen. And I want to know everything there is to know. And I'm going to tell you, if we haven't failed there, we've set stinking television sets inside our house, and we've let the television tell kids everything there is to know about murder, about vice, about sex, about an amen to God, about homosexuality and all that junk. And then we wonder, what's going on in America? I'm going to tell you what's going on in America. America, mommies and daddies are reaping what they've sowed. Amen. I want to be wise. I want to know all there is to know about drugs, sex, alcohol, liquor, shacking up, and all the whole mess. But I'm going to tell you something. Fellas, the wisdom of God is different. That God said that by His own wisdom He had confounded the worldly wise. I'm going to tell you, that seemed to the world out there, me standing here and preaching to you that a man that you've never seen, who claimed to be God in the flesh, died on a cross and then had the power to pull himself up again and go back to heaven, come from heaven, go back to heaven, come from heaven, get up in a virgin's womb, wrap himself in a robe of flesh, come out of that womb a natural birth, 9 months later, a natural birth with a supernatural person inside of a body, and then live without any sin in his life. Huh? Go to a cross and it's faith in what he died on that cross. That delivers a man. I'm going to tell you what the world says. The world says you are foolish. God says, no, I've chosen that to confound the wise through the foolishness of preaching. Son, I'm telling you, it just about makes me want to jump over in that baptism. Huh? Look at some of the... What about the tabernacle in the wilderness? All them heathen of the land walked by that tabernacle and said, how dumb. How dumb can you get? Out there setting up a bunch of old boards and wrapping a bunch of old badger skins around them, all they could see was the outside of that thing. But they couldn't see on the inside. The first thing they saw when they got on the inside, friend, was a altar. And I'm going to tell you something else. Right away from that altar was a door. No wonder Jesus said, I'm the door. Then that God is a wise God, gentlemen. Oh, yes. He's the door of the sheep. By Him, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What a wise God. And I could go on and on. The tabernacle, man, I mean, just on and on and on. God's wisdom. But we ought to progress. There ought to be a constant progress in faith. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1:3. But we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Amen. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. What about our faith growing just a little bit? Constant progress. Believe in God for the greater things. Gentlemen, I tell you, we'll never be able to believe God for some great things, or we're able to believe Him for some small things.
Amen.
And faith working in us, and God a working that faith in us, is something that should be a constant growth within us, to believe God for some greater and more wonderful things in this life. And then what about charity? I'm trying to hurry, because I want to get done so we can have preaching this morning and not be here all day. What about charity? The same verse. He said, your charity toward each other abounding. What about charity? Having a little progress in that. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what is charity? I'm glad you asked. It is an outworking of love. I've heard men say over and over and over again, I'm so sick of it, it makes me puke. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And they talk about how that the word charity there ought to be love. Now about a faith, hope, and love. And the newer modern translations put that. But I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. Charity is not love. Charity is the outworking of love. Charity is love in action. God loved the world and gave His Son. He loved. But the charity came in to give it. Where is our charity at? In giving. Somebody said, giving what? Hey, somebody said, Brother Hall's always wanting us to give money. No, I want you to give yourself.
Right.
I ain't interested in getting your money. I get you, I got your money.
Right.
That's right. God gets you, He's got your money. I'll never forget old Brother Richard Rawls preached a message years ago, the first time I heard it. And he said that there's a missionary down in one of the mission fields. And he said that missionary wanted to take up an offering. Said he told his people weeks in advance, said, we're going to take up an offering. And said, we're going to build us a building. I want you to bring in what you can bring in. And he said the first Sunday, said one of the farmers had had something like 14 yoke of oxen. And to tend his land, he raised, I don't know, rice or whatever this raising. Said he brought in those 14 yoke of oxen. And he said, I want to give all these oxen. I want to give them to God. Sell them, give the money to God to build a building. Said the missionary broke down, went to crying. He said, but my brother, how can you afford to do that? Said, how are you going to tend your land? He said, I'll tell you how I'm going to tend it. He said, I'm going to give these oxen to God, and I'm going to hook up in the plow. My boy's going to get it, and I'm going to pull it. He said, we're going to tend the land, give the rest what's left to God. He gave himself to God, brethren. He said the time went on, other men brought this, and he said he noticed every service a little old boy sitting in the back, just weeping and crying and brokenhearted, tears running down his face, just wept and wept, and the preacher just never had the liberty to say anything to him. But about on the final week when people was coming and some was putting in their money, a little bit of money and all this and all that, said after everybody else was done, said the little boy walked up to where the offering plate was and said he picked up the offering plate. And he set it down on the floor like that and said he got up and stood in that offering plate. And said the missionary looked at him and said, young man, what on earth are you doing? And he said, dear missionary, I have no money to give to God, no goods, no possession. But he said, I gladly give myself to Him.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. That's the offering God wants. That is the offering.
Yes.
That is a sweet smelling savor under God.
Amen.
Have we grown in our charity? Do we have the ability to give beyond our natural means to God? Give of ourselves, not so much of our money, but of our time and our talents. Give it all to God and let God use it to His honor and glory. Huh? Have we any progress there, fellas? What about progress in hope? Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. fill you with joy and peace.
Amen.
That's why we're not abounding in hope. No joy.
Amen.
And no peace.
Amen.
Takes them both to abound in hope.
Amen.
That's right. I wonder if our hope has, if there's any been any progress. Do we really have hope in His appearing?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, praise God. I'm going to get ready for Y2K. I'm going to get ready for X, Y, Z. I believe He's closing it out.
Amen.
That's the end of the line, gentlemen, the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, my hope in His appearing is greater right now than it's ever been in my life.
Amen.
What about hope of our resurrection?
Amen.
We really believe God for that.
Amen.
What about hope of our confirmation and sinless estate? I'm going to tell you, that looks almost as sinful as I am. I'm being honest with you. That looks like what I am, gentlemen. And I don't know how in this world that God can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. I don't know how God can take an unworthy sinner and make a new creation out of him and conform it to the image of Christ and somewhere down the line present us faultless before the throne of His grace. To a perfect, sinless state in the eyes of Almighty God. But gentlemen, He can do it. And I've got hope in that, buddy. I've got hope in that. Amen. Now, what about growing in grace? Brother Peter said, but grow in grace. And he didn't say grow into grace.
Amen.
You do not grow into grace. That is, you don't grow enough in spiritually. Until God puts you in grace and saves you. No. I'm talking about growing in grace.
Amen.
Brother Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, what is... Look here, I'm going to show you what grace is, fellas. What is grace? Unmerited, undeserving love or favor of Christ toward you and I. I'm going to tell you what I think, Brother, that Paul, Brother Peter's mentioning there, talking about there. Grow in grace. Our love for those that do not merit our love.
Amen.
Now, you hear me well. It is not hard to love somebody that loves you.
Amen.
It's not hard to love. Hey, it's not hard for me to love my grandkids while they come up here and crawl around all over me and write me little old notes and love letters and all that. I've got boxes and drawers full of them at the house. Little old tape. It's not hard for me to love them. You know why? Because they love me. But I'm going to tell you what grace is. It's loving that person that don't love you. Not just don't love you, but would spitefully use you. Now, I'm going to tell you, fellas, we'll get some sinners saved when we can attain to that in our life.
That's right. Amen.
If we can love them folks out there, they don't deserve it. They ought to be in hell with their necks broke, but so should you.
Amen.
And maybe even some of them that's offended you or offended me. Now, that's grace. Are we growing in that? Are we growing, walking in the light, see us in the light? If we're walking in the light, as He is in the light, gentlemen, we've got to have a constant progress. I'm going to tell you something. God's plan slows down for no man. God is moving. God's plan is in motion.
Amen.
He is bringing this thing down to it. And I'm going to tell you, when He winds her down to the very end, I want to be right there with it, walking in His plan and His purpose right to the very end.
Amen.
Amen to God. Walking in the light, as He is in the light. Lord, You've delivered my soul from death. Will Thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?